order, a special meeting to cover one subject, okay, and which is the, pension share thing. I think we will stand up to the one nation under God, the individual with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson.
Johnson.
Here.
Timothy Wilson.
Here.
Andrew Brissoni.
Here.
John Brissoni.
Here.
Robert Schroeder.
Here.
Thank you. The reason for this meeting is to inform the board of the status of the pension plan as it relates to share plan, what has happened. Just to give you a quick critique, you recall that back in about 2012, we started to recognize that we had a problem with a extraordinary amount of money left over in the reserve account. And we wanted to do something about it. It turned out that there was nothing we could do about it under the auspices of the given ordinance that we had. So we spoke to our attorneys, who didn't know how to deal with this. And he knew there were share plans, but no share plans in existence that related to volunteer organizations. So from that point on, we went on to Ice Miller as consultant, and they also did not know to do it. The recommendation was then that we go to the IRS with a new ordinance to determine it, to illustrate what we wanted to do and get their public private letter ruling. And that's where we were. We've been hanging out status for a while. Well, just recently, we got a letter from the IRS, went to Ice Miller, went to our attorney, and finally to us and to the city manager. Which said that, in essence, that we were clear to go on the ordinance as written. One or two little caveats. The city got a letter from the board's attorney indicating that it was a go, and it met the criteria that we had. What I wanted to do now, the board and the attorney and the actuary, right, are prepared to meet with the board, have been invited to a workshop on February 10th, is it? Whatever. And I want the board to be aware of what it is that we're doing on the 10th, because once we make that presentation to the city council, we're not going to back away from it, hopefully. Okay? So, that is kind of as a reminder. See this. What we submitted to the IRS was a new ordinance. We have an ordinance that was 2011-18. That's the one that's being request be voided. For a number of reasons, not only the share plan, but it turned out, in essence, we were under the wrong IRS formula for the program that we had, so we're adjusting that, and there's no penalty involved since it was we who initiated the request for change. So now, the old ordinance was this here. It was a defined benefit plan, okay? And it was vesting and so on. What we're doing with the new plan is incorporating two things, the defined benefit and then adding to it the share plan. Okay? You will recall that we have 5 years of qualified years for vesting. You needed 5 years. Standard benefit is, and that's going to hold, is $65 per month per year. Right? And that's the basis for how we get to our pension program plan. City has the option to end the plan. This is consistent with the old resolution or ordinance. But it's committed to already acquired benefits. Chris, you can cover that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So at any time the city can say, I want to end this program, but it can't say, we dismiss everything else. It has to pick up whatever responsibilities there was any to the time that they cut. However, with the status of our plan, this is not even on the radar.
The plan is funded by state via homeowner insurance or tax. That doesn't change. That's in the same, this new ordinance as it was in the old ordinance. To date, the plan is about 120% funded, excluding the excess reserve we're talking about. If we took that whole excess reserve and threw it away, it never happened, we must still have a plan that's 120% funded. And I think that's probably going to be one of the key things that the board or the council is going to want to be reassured about. Because when we start to get into this one here, some eyebrows are going to get raised. Now, we went to share plan because there was no way we could diminish the excess reserve we had by increasing $65 to $165. That still didn't help us. And put undue stress and burden on the city council in the event of a failure. That'd be an awesome number for them to deal with. But again, like I said, it's not reality. So under the share plan now, we have, this remains, by the way, as is. Exactly as is. If this applies, it has nothing to do with this. Here, we're trying to remove the excess. But again, with the 5-year vesting, qualification for vesting, it applies. Benefit is derived from excess reserve as validated by the actual reforestment enforcement. Now, before doing this here, I went to Forest Enforcer and said, can you give me a number that we have to deal with? It was the excess reserve as of September 30th, 2014. And they said, yes. And I got a letter from them, I think you have a copy of it, that says, this is your number of excess reserve. So we're dealing with a fixed thing validated by the plan actuary, which also will be presented to the workshop, city council. Under obligations, there is no obligation to share plan benefit if there is no excess reserve. While we have this, if there is no excess, there's no requirement on anybody's part to provide anything under share plan. Benefit is solely determined by excess reserve amount. No excess, no share plan benefit. And that should be clear, and I just want to make that as clear as possible that we can to the city council. Distribution calculations. Okay. Excess reserve and total qualified years will be converted to valued shares. And I'll go through that in a little bit. Based upon the number of total qualified years per distribution period as determined by the Board of Trustees and approved by the City Council. But here we have a whole bunch of excess reserve that we want to distribute as of 30 September 2014. But what's the basis for doing that? And remember, going back a while, we presented this to the volunteer organization. Remember, the membership? We said, this is what we're going to try and do, and this is how it's going to apply on first cut. It's going to include the retired, and it's going to include the active and all that. And we got 100% validation on that, so that the volunteer corporation agreed with that, right? Joe?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we started to figure out how to make this distribution of whatever the big number is, okay? To get it down to how much does each individual get based on their longevity and qualifications and so on. But there's a caveat, and not a caveat, there's a restriction by virtue of IRS for what a volunteer firefighter, if you will, can acquire under pension benefit for a given year. And that not maximum monthly, $3,000 a year. And when you get to that $3,000 a year, that also has to include that number that we're deriving as a direct benefit, the defined benefit program. This is one of the things that was in the explained in the new ordinance. This is one of the things that confused and concerned Ice Miller and Al Scott, our attorney. When the IRS union come back, both IRS and Scott indicated that we're free to go. I personally can't feel 100% on that because I don't know how to read the legalese. But the attorneys assured us that we're okay. You agree with that? Okay. So, just to put something in frame of reference for you, if you take the minimum qualification, which is for vesting, so we say, well, I've got 5 years. Okay? 5 years of service times $3,000 a year says you can be the beneficiary of $15,000 per year with respect to this plan if you've got 5 years. If you've got 7 years, this number goes up. And if you've got 10 years, that number goes up. But this is the idea. So you're kind of locked into a $3,000 a year benefit. But that's $3,000 per year. So if you have 5 years, every year you get 5 years worth of credit. You follow that one?
Mm-hmm.
Chris, you jump on me anytime I ask.
Excuse me.
Yes.
That means if somebody was still active,
yeah,
okay, their benefit plan would start, and they have 5 years in and they're still active.
Yeah.
The benefit plan would be first, they would have $15,000 to put into that benefit plan to start with. And then what you're saying is each year another $15,000 would be added to the benefit plan?
I'm saying if the maximum you can get is $15,000 per year, every year.
Right.
Okay? There's no commitment to that. To explain it. 1 year of service,
right,
equals on your off $65, $780 a month. Okay? $780 a month could be up to $3,900 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Per year. So if you got 5 years, it's 3,900 times five.
Right.
Well, we've been operating very well on the defined benefit plan, but they're always falling to that number when you go per year basis. Saying that, no, you can't interpret the $3,000 maximum to say, okay, once you do that, you don't get any more benefit out of that year. That's just learned that every year you get through, you're allowed $3,000 based on that year's service. So if you got 5 years, it's $15,000. And then what would be, every year, it's $15,000 is the max you can get. But you can get that every
okay,
year.
So it's the max that you can get, not what you're going to be funded each year. It's the max.
The max you can get.
Yeah, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be funded $15,000 per year.
No.
It's the max you can get.
Yeah, no. So
that would have another benefit. It's okay.
Yeah. You can't interpret that as saying, okay, so since it's $3,000 max, you're going to get $3,000. It's not the case. Down the list there, and I'm calculating this on every year, and I'll tell you that when the share plan kicks in and you incorporate what you're getting out of the defined benefit program, nobody can wipe out their share plan amount in the first year, because it drives you over the $3,000. However, nobody has to go more than 2 years. The way it works out, everybody will recover whatever is in the share plan within 2 years. You got to split it up. So I'm assuming it's going to be 2015, 2016.
If people choose to take it out?
Well, yeah, right. The only people who can take it out are the people who retire.
Right.
The people who are still out, they're still getting, you know, getting money because it goes into an account for them.
Mm-hmm. I think, Charlie, if I may, back to what Dan was saying, the important thing is that this limit we're talking about is how much you can take out each year.
Okay.
That's the limit. You can only receive out of the plan, regardless of which bucket it comes from. The $3,000 per year is basically what it works out to be. So regardless of how much money someone may have, whether they're retired or not, you know, just the maximum benefit you can get out. This is the confusing part for me, and honestly, I'm still a little fuzzy on it, and I need to talk to Scott a little bit more.
See, I am too. I've been Charlie these big times, and I still can't figure it out.
Because as I understand, and Charlie's going to go into it more, we're going to take the excess that we're allowed to divvy up, and everyone's going to get a piece of it. Mm-hmm. Okay, retired and active. What you can take out is limited by this IRS max. So what Charlie was saying was somebody who might, let's say, they're only allowed to take out $15,000 a year, including their regular, you know, total, including their regular monthly checks and anything out of here. You know, it may take, if they want to make a withdrawal, they may have to do it over several years to take all that money out of the account because of that IRS limit.
Right. But the active people, that just accumulates.
Just accumulates.
They can't take it out until they actually retire.
Correct.
Just accumulates. It's like a bank account.
Mm-hmm. Right? Sure. So it's like any other pension. It's like any other 401k or something like that.
But
like,
some pensions allow you to take out even though while you're active. I'm assuming this one doesn't allow you to take out while you're active.
No. No, we didn't have any discussions about that.
No.
Okay. Yeah, we didn't have any discussions about that. So, you know, this first year, this first go-around, everyone's going to get a WAD, you know, based on their years of service, because we got this big backlog we've got to do. Going forward, that number that potentially could be distributed, if any, depending on any excess, will go to the active people that are in the plan, but, you know, who knows what that amount might be.
It'll fluctuate or could be nothing.
Exactly. It'll fluctuate.
It's not likely to be nothing.
Right.
First of all, we're taking the global sum in this first, and first it says available. And we're taking 20% of that and keeping it in the plan.
Right. Okay. As an emergency.
Whatever it's going to be needed for, at least they're comfortable with that. Secondly, in the calculations for value per share, we've included those years that are not yet vested. And you know what the rollover is on that. So if a guy's got 2 years on September 2014, we value him into the program.
Right.
So if he does that best tested, that money is there for him. However, as we know, a high percentage of people never reach the 5 years. Mm-hmm. They stop at 3. Well, that 3 will then go into again
the pot.
The new account again for the future.
Right, back into the pot, basically.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
So that's all we need.
That part I understood. I just don't understand the maximum distribution.
So, just to clarify, a 10-year person would get $65 per month per year service in the defined benefit, which is $7,800. And then, so the difference that they could take out at retirement would be up to that 15?
It would be 3,000 times 10 years. So 30,000 would be the total. Minus the $7,800.
Okay, so that would be their max benefit.
That they could take out.
Okay, so
that year.
The max you would take out of your retirement for a 10-year person would be that $30,000.
However you get it, whichever company needs it.
Yep. If you go up to 15 years, it would $45,000 that you would be able to pull out into the shares plan. But you couldn't do it in a year.
Correct.
So it'd have to be 2 years. And in 2 years, you can do it. I've been through every number. Is there any problem with this?
This is what's going to go to the city council. This one thing with the 5 years, does that start when those have started or started when your service here at this, the fire department started?
Well, as an individual, it depends on the years that you're involved in it. But it goes back, for instance, those, the plan went into effect 2002.
Right.
One of the provisions under the ordinance was that anybody who had time prior to 2002 could get that back 5 years.
Okay, so that after 1998,
this is on a 5 year base. Yeah, so it's based on whatever someone's credited years of service under the current LoSAP program is. Regardless, I haven't been back.
I try to come up with some kind of a methodology for determining what the value of a share would be. So, I come up with this, bear with me, I think it works. Let's see. Today, is the reserve assets for the plan approval from 2002 through 2014. As validated by the actuary. Okay? We have a letter that equals that amount and several $1 million. R is the reserve retained for continuing share plan support. That is when we said that 20% of that goes up. 20% of this number is here. D is the reserve available after this calculation for distribution to past and present active members with vested qualified years of service. Q, total number of qualified years attained by all active members through September 14th represents the total number of shares. And I said non-vested qualified years are also included. In other words, we're back to day one. And for everybody that qualified and has qualified years, in this number. Okay? And that number comes out to 272 qualified years.
Including retired. I mean, everybody. Retirees and people currently active.
And the guys.
Every earned year of service, period.
Right. Somebody came in 2012, it's got 2 years in. He was out tomorrow.
And we lost it.
He lost it, but we gained it.
Right.
So it's a huge plan.
Okay. It doesn't count for people that have left the department that are not vested, correct? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, let's say somebody comes in, does 2 years, they left.
Yeah.
Those 2 years, they don't count because they never got vested.
No, they'd be here.
Okay.
Because we can't tell them if they would stay or they wouldn't stay.
No, they're not active currently. I'm talking, let's say they were here 10 years ago, they only served 2 years then.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Then they're not here.
Okay.
Just people that are here today.
Long list of those.
G is each individual's number of qualified years through September 4th. So we took the lump sum and broke it down, and if you add all that up, we get to 272. S is the calculated value per share. So I said, okay. We have D, which is the money available for our distribution after we took the 20% out. And Q, which is the total number of qualified years of service. So if I took this and divided it into the total number, I would have a value per share. If I took the share value times 272, it would equal a D. Going down to D equals A minus R. A, what's available. R, which we transferred out. D, which is what we now have available for distribution. That's D equals A minus R. Q, which is the total number of qualified years, is just what we said. We took the number and added it up. S, which is the calculated per share, which is D the reserve available, divided by Q, total number of qualified years. And I is the individual amount, which would take the number of the prior individual years times the value of the shares you would get, and this here says what each individual would get. You know, you have no problem with this, because this is what we're going to propose. I'll sit down with you, Chris, again, and we'll go through the numbers to validate what I've done. But this is the genesis of what the share plan is, how we get there, how we make the distribution, and how long that distribution will take.
Yeah, and essentially, we're just trying to, you know, how do you determine what a share is?
Exactly.
You know, so I mean, what Charlie did was just took all the number of years of qualified service of the people who were retired in the plan or currently under the plan as an active volunteer, and you divide that into the pot.
Right.
And it's a per share price, and multiplied by your years of service, that's what goes into your share plan.
And that's fair to everybody up to that date, because even the guys who are in the program for only 2 years, if they hang in, they got that 2 years covered. It's in there for them.
Right.
It'll be in their individual accounts. And the old guys, like me, they're retired now, we don't share it anymore.
We're not sharing that, sir.
We're not time share until after the 14th. And that's essentially how we broached this in 2012 when we spoke to the volunteer. And the membership was happy with that. Well, here's what we have. Bob, you have any charging plan?
I'm sure I can.
Bob, you have any difficulty?
No?
Okay.
Charlie, possible questions from a council member or even a member. Is while the money's sitting in this plan for me, whether I take it out as a retiree or don't, what is happening with it? What is it invested in? Is it invested in anything? And who's doing the investing?
Mm-hmm. That's going to be part of this, okay? I was thinking that for the presentation to the city council, we're going to have the actuary there who's going to validate the numbers. We're going to have the lawyer there who's going to validate what we think. And I was thinking about calling in the
people from the
legal cities.
Yeah.
But
I just wonder, what is doing?
Do the legal cities functions under the direction of what we establish here? And I'm wondering if we really need them. And I like the consensus on that, because I don't know. I can call them and ask them to come up.
I mean, just off the top of my head, you know, knowing the way the council works, so I don't think a representative from the League of Cities has any value to the city council meeting. Not that we can't have them there just in case.
But the
answer to your question is whatever the board decides. The volunteer pension board decides.
Okay.
You guys make that decision.
So you don't think the council is going to ask any questions further as to how it may be handled after it's been allocated?
They may ask it, but it would be impossible to answer because it's up to the volunteer board to make those decisions.
Okay, and that's fine. I was just anticipating a question like that from a board member.
Yeah.
Or certainly when this is rolled out to the membership, if I was sitting in the audience as an active guy, I'd say, that's fine, that's great, I love this, but what are you doing while it's sitting there?
Yep.
Yeah, is there any other mentioning continuously?
Right.
You know, like, you put $30,000 in your own 401k, it's going to make money over 20 years, you know, but is this going to make money, or is it just going to be a flat amount that sits there?
Right.
I guess the question is.
Right, and that would really be a communication, you know, from the pension board to the membership.
Also the person's selection of them, and if I remember, do you want your money to sit there, or do you want it invested?
Because I remember when the actuary was here, and he said, when if this happens, they would create individual plans for each person for the money to go to.
There'll be individual accounts.
Individual accounts, not plans. Individual accounts for each person. So if that's the case, are you going to have the selection process?
I don't think so. We haven't had any of those discussions. I mean, we would really have to talk to the league whether they even do that.
Okay.
But you're talking about setting up individually managed accounts right. at that point.
Yeah, because this can get complicated. Now I don't have to tell you that.
And right.
You wind up with five different choices of how you want to invest your money. You want to throw it in a CD, you want to put it into... Is it the corporate bonds? What do you want to do with it? This can get really complicated.
Yep.
Is this considered a 401k, 403b, 403b, anything like that?
It's under the whole plan is under 457. Yeah. Yep. I mean, it's probably not bad to talk to the league about what options are going to be available to the folks if we do this and what the cost would be. But as far as I know, the league really only works in portfolios, you know. You pick the portfolio. You want the 60-30-10, you want the 70-10, you know, whatever. And we just invest it as a giant lump.
For the first ordinance, by the way, okay, that was put out and approved, we have no league of cities involved. We were right. maintaining our own money. Right. And we didn't have to go to the city to say, okay, we want to now have the league of cities do this. The board decided that's what we wanted to do. We're not required to do it.
Okay.
So I don't know that necessarily falls within the evaluation purview for city purposes in addition to what we're providing them.
I think
but I have no objection to calling them and asking them to come down.
I think the answer to city council is that, you know, the board decides, you know, how the assets get invested, what investment company, what the investment policy is.
So if there's a return on the money, you know, let's say there's X amount of dollars in there, we get a return, the money's divvied out per shares that you have, because that's a percentage per share.
Right, but
and so you are, in essence, making money on your retirement
yeah.
to increase it over yeah. the years.
And to simplify, right now we have a portfolio, against the money that we have now. We may just offer that same portfolio, whatever the risk parameters are to that portfolio, as just one choice. Or we can go with the League of Cities or whatever. But I think we've done pretty well with the portfolio we have now that's invested. Maybe that's the investment strategy used and just have one choice, that's it.
Yeah, and like I said, it's probably a different discussion to have with the league once we get to the separate accounts, what can we do, you know?
I need to confuse this.
Not necessarily,
but I'm thinking about what they might ask. What I might ask if
we play that around again.
What if I want to ask them to do with that?
Yeah, because I'm sorry, Sean. I know that we really only deal with pools.
Mm-hmm.
They don't all do individual mutual funds or anything like that. So any of those discussions would have to be a different topic, different discussion as to, you know, even if we, you know, in that case, maybe we, you know, you'd have to think about whether you want to continue with the league or not. I think that is really, you know, but for the city council, just to say that, you know, the board takes up those discussions and makes those decisions would be good.
And I don't know how that would affect the value per share.
It doesn't.
Did that.
No, it doesn't. But it could be the board is just wondering, you know, what options the volunteers have to invest and stuff. And, it's possible someone can come up with that question, you know, but we'll be ready, you know, to talk okay. about it.
I imagine ultimately you may very well decide to do it the same way that we do it with a private pension plan or a profit sharing plan, where you have right now individual accounts. You're building up equity in this fund. As each year that you're a person is involved in the organization. And then with that excess money now, or what's going to be allocated in you're just adding to that account, and it's a simple matter of X number of dollars are there and division thereof.
Well, currently we currently don't have that. You get paid a dollar amount for a year. And now the new plan, the share plan, would be an interest-bearing plan. But the current one is $65 per... Well, somebody else is getting that's what I'm saying. Is because right now it's $65 per year of service per month. So it doesn't matter. Like, I mean, if your plan returned 20%, you're still going to get $65 per year per month. So...
Yeah, it affects the funding of the program.
Right.
Right.
Well, you got to remember, in this particular scenario, any earnings that would be in excess... excess of the required amounts to fund the $65 would wind up in
the reserve.
The reserve pool.
Right.
So we can't wait to think about that.
Right.
Because when they redo the calculations and they say, okay, this is the amount that you need for the $65 per year, and this is what's available to go into the reserve.
We have a fund amount, but it's in excess even of the $65, and that does not fall into the excess reserve.
Yeah, up to the frozen amount.
That's why we can say that the thing is 120% funded, excluding what we have now. So that the frozen amount really is more than the plan requires to keep it going. Because don't forget, also including that we were paying for Ashmore, we were paying for Scott, we were paying for the actuary and so on.
Yeah.
That's all in the frozen amount.
Thank God his mother's gone.
Well, that's still sending those.
We're still thinking about it.
Okay? If you buy that, you have a problem with when somebody make a resolution, we accept.
I make a motion to accept the plan as described to go to the city council.
Okay. Second?
I got a second.
Any comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Chris, you have any comments on this?
No, I don't. I think, I've been thinking in my head about the city council presentation, you know, with the group that's here. What would be helpful, one of the things I want to try to get in front of city council, because this is hard for them to wrap their head around, this whole thing, because this is one of those things where, you know, we even had a council member ask, well, if you have too much money, cut down the tax that you're charging on the, you know, that funds this.
Mm-hmm.
Can you reduce the tax? Well, you can't. It's either you turn it on or turn it off kind of thing. So you know, the council members are going to be like, well, why, you know, if we have more money, why are we charging the citizens? You know, they're going to start thinking about stuff like that. So what I want to turn around and show them is that, hey, listen, this is how many hours the volunteers put in a year, all right? And specifically, this is how many hours the volunteers put in doing work a firefighter would do. As a backup, as a fire police, it doesn't matter, in the course of a year. So that I can show the city council that this is what this would equal in our budget. Okay, if we had to pay somebody to do this.
To monetize, to say that,
and I know, listen, there's a lot of, you know, auxiliary services and things like that, and we can put up there that this is how many total hours, but what's really going to mean something to city council is this is how many hours that people spent on equipment, spent out on the streets, you know, spent in backup positions or out in the forest or whatever it was over the course of a year, and, you know, go back a few years and try to pull those numbers together. And that way I can say, well, this is the equivalent of five firefighters, and this is how much that would have cost.
And make the point that we self-fund ourselves.
Basically, yes.
Without taking money from anyone.
Right, and if we were to replace these guys with paid firefighters, you're talking about an amount like this. And here, it really doesn't cost, really, the citizens really anything. They don't even see the tax on their insurance, you know, bill. So just something to kind of offset that argument. And to show that there's a real financial benefit. So I don't know, you know, maybe you guys can think about how to gather that information up, because that's really what I want to open the discussion with when we get to the point of having the presentation to city council. Because I still, you know, some of them may understand, you know, the amount of work that's done here, but some of them, especially the new people, the two new councilmen, probably have no idea, no clue, really, the amount of effort.
Well, we have done the survey incident that you respond to. I think we want to deal with the emergency response on that. We have a number of incidents, and perhaps we can average out how many hours each call by the approximate number is.
Probably average out the firefighter time, the fire police time, and all the administrative associate time, and get to an hour.
We could do that, but I
just need some
dominate on the fact that for emergency services.
Right.
If you have that, you wouldn't need the other part.
Right. Right. And that's the key, because that's what would have to be replaced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by pay. And that trying to come put a number on that, you know, which I think is going to be significant, is going to make a big difference in the discussion of what we're talking about here.
Well, I would argue that the administrative, the associate's time benefits the city as well, not just the firefighters, because of all the extra time they put in.
Well, administrative work.
And not only administrative work, but they participate in just about everything the city plans with volunteers out there.
Special events.
Or they bring an engine with them or whatever. That's all benefits the city as well.
Sure.
Like visit the city or live here.
So yeah, I say we put it all out there, but the actual calculation of dollars is, you know, no one waves to the council. I'm going to try to stick to actual on-site emergency work to try to get an estimate in dollars. But we can put out all of the hours that are put in for sure.
Yeah, because if you put that extra hours the associates put in, and said that we now, if we kept that schedule up and we used paid firefighters to that, there's a dollar.
Oh, yeah.
Cost to the city that they're not expensing now.
There is, yeah, and you know, I already kind of talked to the chief about it, and the chief is on board with, you know, coming up for that part of the discussion when we, you know, to start, so that, you know, he can also support the, you know, the amount of work that's getting done that would, you know, have to be paid work. So I really think that has to be the opening discussion, and then you know, trying to boil this down so that it's understandable is going to be the tricky part.
When is this? February 10th.
Yeah. So it's a workshop. It's a workshop Tuesdays at 9 a.m. workshop. I'm going to try to get us on first on the agenda since Scott and Doug are coming. And they charge us by the second, so.
Right.
The quicker we can get them to travel, so.
Should we show up with t-shirts or something?
Flags. I mean, certainly anybody who wants to come is welcome to come to the workshop and the council meeting, so. But my goal is to have a real solid presentation to try to anticipate as many questions as possible. And then to be able to, you know, get everything answered in one shot is really what we're going for. Because the ordinance itself has to go through two business meetings, just because that's state law. The first reading, and then they'll vote on it, and then there'll be 2 weeks later a second reading before it's official. So it'll really take almost a month, you know, to get the ordinance through and approved and wrapped up before we'll be able to move forward, just from a timing standpoint.
And once that's approved, Charlie, what's the timing on the rollout of this once it's approved? It takes a month to get through the city council and approve. What's the timing on rolling it out there?
Well, we got the money. Well, I think that once it's approved, it's just a matter of mechanics with soil and there. How long before a check will be issued?
No, I didn't mean that selfishly. I meant when is the rollout
Probably by the time we work with the league and get the actuary and get the accounts set up, you're probably looking at several months.
Yeah.
You know, at least. You know, figure you need a quarter to get through all of that stuff and, you know,
one thing set up.
And get statements out to everybody and that whole thing. You know.
Yeah, that's on the chair plan side. What you want to have is your date on this here ordinance. Huh? And the date of the ordinance, it takes over, but it's going to continue on the defined benefit side, so it'll be, you know, that will roll right along. And this year, I don't see why it should take up. I mean, the actuary is already on board with this, the lawyers are on board with it, so it's a matter of getting the administrative end cranked up.
Yeah, we'll get the names in, the people,
the year. They've got all the names. And
They really have everything. It's just a matter of them setting up the accounts, and then someone's going to have to direct them and say, okay, these are the amounts for this person's account, you know. And
I've got a list per person, and I want you to go through it, but I have a list per person, per hours, per what the share amount is and what their total is.
Right.
And I've also got a list that says, okay, you can't get it all in the first year, but this is how much you get to the $3,000 per year maximum. And actually, it works out just about exactly half.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2 years, it's done. And then went back to, when do you want to go through this again? Because each time you do it, you're going to have to recalculate the value per share. Okay?
Yeah, and that'll be in every year process, basically, that, you know, once we know what the excess is, once the actuary, it probably happened, you know, in the spring, maybe April, May of each year, once the actuary's done with all of the work, and they say, okay, this is the official excess, you know, then the board will have to say, okay, this is how it gets divvied up, you know, we'll have to go through that annual process every year.
Well, that's into a long road.
Pardon?
It's into a long road.
It's not over yet, okay.
This is really the way I'm getting to tell them.
Yeah, just the fact that we got a letter from the IRS back to us.
Yeah.
That was shocking.
Yeah, that was true.
If this is presented at the county council, who would handle any questions that would come up from the DOA?
That's right, the lawyer was there, the actuary is there, and Chris is there. Chris is the best presenter that we have, because they all know, and they have a lot of confidence there.
Right, and a lot of times, you know, the people who are in the audience who just happen to be there, who are not really related to any of this, really don't. Their questions are very general in nature because they don't really understand what's going on. You know, the only real technical questions would be for anybody that's on the inside, you know, that might have an issue to make or a point to make or something like that. But
the important part is to keep in front of the fact that there is no cost. And if you do the work, you're not making any money, you're not saving any money, but you're not going to get any.
Right. And the other thing is with the two readings of the ordinance, even if there's a question at the first meeting that needs an answer, that we don't have an answer for at that meeting, we have time to get it back to the council members at the next week's workshop, you know, go through whatever that point is so that they're ready to take final action, you know, at the final meeting. So it's kind of built in to allow for that kind of feedback.
Any other questions? Motion to adjourn.
Make the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.